right now, I just want to give him all the glory. Glory to him. He deserves it. All the honor to him, all the glory to him, because we're just people. Amen. Everything that we receive, we always give back to him. If we stop giving it to him, we'll just stop receiving everything. So glory to Jesus. We're going to get into the Word. Today, I'd like to talk about one unique word that God spoke to me, that I named my Zion. Today, we're going to talk about one unique subject. Every Christian has to understand this thing in his life, at least to the end of his life. What does Zion mean? Even today, in the Psalms, when we sung about Zion, they had the kind of phrase. A lot of times in the Bible we hear about David that dedicated 38 psalms to Zion. 38 psalms of David, if you don't believe me, was dedicated to Zion. What is Zion? We know it's Jerusalem. It's a place of glory where people get together, and Zion is sung about more than any other place. Zion, in a place, I'll tell you for sure, it's talked about in 163 times. Zion is sung about and reminded of and talks about 163 times. What is this place? What kind of structure is this? Sometimes we don't even think much about what is Zion. What is Zion in my life? Trust me. When I want to say a sermon, it's not going to be boring. You'll see some things that are fundamental for a life of a Christian. You're going to hear things that are mandatory for your restoration as a Christian. My Zion, what does that mean? Zion in the Bible meant where Israel lived. It's also called the house of David, where he spent his time. They always sung about, we will go to the Mount of Zion. What is Zion? And when this name, I've seen it multiple times during reading the Bible and singing and hearing. And sometimes you want to think about, what am I singing about? What is a Zion in my life? It's interesting. Do you know that Zion originally was called Abbeys or something? It was a kind of nationality that he told Israel to destroy this nation because it must not live around Israel. Most interesting is that when we go into the story of Israel, how Israel was growing, and how David was taking over land that God gave him to own. And what's interesting, walking through the story, I noticed that the land of Abbeys was like a spot in the eye of David, because it was a place he couldn't take over for many years. He fought over all the territories. He fought over all the things you could possibly conquer. And what's interesting is, in the middle of his kingdom, there was this strong city that was called Abbeys, and there were people with pride who were always laughing at David. He couldn't take it for one reason, because it wasn't just a city. This was a This was like a hard thing to take. How can you be a master of everything, the whole territory, and right in the middle of your territory, there is something that can't live you live, can't live you bring, and to even declare that this land belongs to me, because it belongs to you, but not all of it. Is that interesting for you to listen about Zion? Zion. Interesting place. And when we studied the internet and the books, Israel hated this city and this. All the other victories weren't as hard. Nobody had. Israel would just go together with all the army, David, they would just take over land and territories, and they would just take over everything. But not this place. This place was getting in the way of his life. It would get in the way of his thinking, because right in the middle of his kingdom, there was something that couldn't even let him think straight. And this was just something that they couldn't take over for many years. Interesting moment in the Bible that is watched. Have you ever thought about, church, every one of us, when I'm talking about Zion, I'm not talking about the city itself. I'm not talking about Jerusalem. That's another name of this mountain. But right now I'm talking about your Zion. Do you know that the Bible cannot talk about Zion so many times if it doesn't mean anything in your life and my life? Does everybody understand this? If it's in here, that means God put it in there and wrote it and made sure that it was written about many times. In Isaiah, in this one Isaiah, it was about 40 or 50 times. David dedicated 38 psalms to Zion. What is Zion in my life? And it so happens that throughout 15 years that I got to know my God, it so happens that in the life of each Christian, a real Christian, if you're not a real Christian, you're not going to understand the subject. You won't even know what Zion is. Zion is when you were reborn again, you got to know God. What is Zion in the life of a person who was reborn again and got to know God? In your life, there are so many. God took away so much. You automatically were delivered from tons of things. You were delivered from this and this and that right away, instantly. And you're not even thinking about it. But do you know what? Among all your conquered territory, including mine, there is a Zion. Getting quiet here, huh? Must begin to you. It'll get to you. Zion is a place that you know about. If you don't know it, then you haven't conquered all the territory yet. Hello? Jesus is another line. If you're saying, what kind of Zion are you talking about? If you don't understand me right now, that means you did not finish the battle with all the rest of your nation's sins and problems. There's something in your life that has not been cleaned out yet. But as soon as you clean up everything in your life, only then you'll be able to see Zion. What is Zion? Zion. It is something. Trust me, it wasn't put by God to lower your self-esteem or something. It was put by God to make you a king of Zion. Right now, we'll get into it. I'm getting a little taste of it. Zion. This is the most hated place for David. How could it be sung about throughout the whole life of David? Why is he always talking about this? And I'll read you some moments. I'll show you some things. Why God chose Zion. Here it'll be shown in Psalms of our favorite David that God says, I chose Zion. Interesting. And it so happens that in order to become someone in your life, to become a real king, you got to have a Zion. And you, not only do you must have one, but you got to have a conquered Zion. And if we have honest people, I'm honest, and if you raise your hand, including me, and we'll say honestly, then declare in the spiritual world, do you have a Zion? Who has him? Then I'm preaching right today. When everything's going fine, everything's pink, everything, wait till all the stars go down. I'm not saying that your first love is going to leave, because for 15 years, my first love did not go away. Because I'm always with him and he's with me. I can't walk alone. I don't have first love, second love. I have love, period. I have love with him and he has love with me all the time. There's no minute. There's no time that I'm not with him. Yeah, I make mistakes, but mistakes don't stop me from his love. If your mistakes stop you from his love, then I feel bad for you. Nothing stops me. Not problems, not kind of some kind of sin or some kind of a... If small fallings or you get hung up on something on accident, there's nothing. Nothing cannot take us away from what? If something's separating you from God, that's you doing. So nothing from the outside cannot separate me, not demons, not angels, not nobody from the love. If something's separating, it's me walking from Him. Walking away from Him. If you want to know where your love is, it's your love is where you left it. The way Revelation said, remember from where you were when you were still awake and go back. God is in the same place. God stepped aside. No, where'd he go? Probably went to vacation, huh? It's all religious junk. Have you ever thought about a church that us walking in our calling, and sometimes a lot of people think that Zion is something huge in my life. Zion can be that anger that you can't control. For somebody else, your Zion might be funny, but not for me, not for you. For you, it's a Zion. Somebody quit smoking and forgot when he quit. It just disappeared. But for somebody else, it's a Zion. Somebody can't stop lying. They say, well, you can't stop lying. It's so easy to quit, I mean. Yeah, it's easy. It's even easier to lie. It's just simply to start telling the truth. It's just so easy. Just start telling the truth. But it doesn't sound funny. It's no fun. You got to always add to it. This is your Zion. You know, sugarcoating things. For some people, it doesn't matter. He always tells the truth. And somebody else, no matter what he buys or he gets, he always has to add something to it. He bought something somewhere, for example, and he always has to at least lie about the price. I don't even want to get into details. It's somebody's Zion, and I can tell by some of these people's eyes. And our Zion, it doesn't have to be something... It's like a big monster in your life, and you're thinking, "Oh, this is terrible." No, monsters are defeated. The curses are gone. You got healing in the body. You're free. If you think honestly, Zion can be something little, some kind of a little thing that's always torturing you, and you're thinking, "Lord, I can tear him apart," but it so happens that you can't. You try to tear them apart and you can't. And it so happens that God, it's His, it was purposed by Him everything that left your life, it left supernaturally. You just open your eyes, and for example, you don't have no addiction to alcohol. You don't want to cuss. You don't want to go beat anybody up. You don't have adultery. It left, but this Zion, this little, here it is, and I thought about it. It could be something so little compared to everything else. Everything else that was conquered, the territory was conquered, huge amount of territory. And this little Zion, one little Zion, not a big city, in the middle of a huge kingdom. And he's standing there making fun of you. Let's read. 2 Samuel. Chapter 5, verse 6 through 7. 2 Samuel, chapter 5, verse 6 to 7. The king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." So, you see, they're making fun of him so bad that somebody blind and crippled, look how the devil can torture somebody. Basically, they're saying there are littlest demons will just put you out, just take you out. We're not talking about the whole army. They're just like he said, our lame will just chase you out. This is our territory. This is our life. We don't want to leave this place. And these Jebusites, it's like if you think about it, these are Jebusites. Why are they calling it Zion? Why are you coming to us, to our territory? This is our territory. And so what, all this kingdom is yours, but this is our territory. So we do what we want. Basically, that's what they're saying. These are our walls and our strength. So, but David took. Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion and the city of David. And David did not live in any other cities. The place where I'm moving to is where my biggest battle was. You want to know where you're going to become the king? Over there, in your hardest. You want to know where you're going to get all your strengths from? Talking bad about your Zion and say, I will be. If it doesn't work out the first time, and people ask dumb questions, why is everything so easy in my life, but this little junk is just sitting there on my territory, it's getting in my way, and Jesus doesn't talk much about this. For some strange quiet. We're doing this and that, and God is working. We sanctify the house, for example. And it's just quiet. It's not like God is for or against. And Zion is just standing there, and God's quiet. He's not saying anything. He just said, do what you want. It's like God doesn't even care about me. Oh, and it hurts so bad. This Zion is just, as soon as I see him, and that's it. I belong to God, everything, right? But this little thing is just, I'm just telling you these things that other people won't tell you. Because, because they haven't took this Zion yet. I'm just telling you the truth. The truth about what you're fighting against. I know you ask God the question, what is this that's getting in the way? I'm anointed, and then the next thing you know, wow. yesterday I casted out so many demons. And then some blind just kind of just kicks you to the curb. Oh, Lord, I conquered the army. 10,000s of people laid out. And then these Jebusites just point fingers at you. Huh? And you're like, oh. And they're just looking at you, what? What are you talking about? We'll let the blind come down right now. You don't even know what you're messing with. Can you imagine how terrible it was for David? Took everything, and there's just these Jebusites. He probably even renamed them to Jerusalem by now, but haven't took them over yet. You renamed it, and you said, Lord, this is my... I belong to you totally. But it has no influence to your salvation. Listen to me carefully. If somebody was in some kind of a misunderstanding and thinking that this has anything to do with your salvation, you are clean by the blood of Christ. It does not matter if you're what you conquered. Otherwise, the blood of Christ would not have been complete. And you start messing around and thinking, and you start liking the battle. And you say, okay, today I didn't take it. We'll try more tomorrow. In the morning, you wake up. Okay, what are we're gonna think today? All these things we make up. It makes you stronger and stronger and stronger. Jebusites can be taken over when you reach your full potential, and that's going to be a sign that you are the king. Is this too hard for a Sunday? Jebusites. What is Jebusites? It's something that's always getting to you, laughing at you, and you're like ashamed to even talk about this. How you're just this big anointed person, or and this little Jebusites, who's if you tell somebody, they'll laugh at you. Imagine your Jebusites. You can't even share with nobody because you have such a victories, and then you think, I've been able to take over much bigger things in my life, and this little thing, and it so happens that God, simply what He did was He helped them take over everything supernaturally, and left the Jebusites, and it's not like He just left, dropped it, or and He said, no. Jebusites, they don't spread. They just stand in one place for 1 year, for 2 years, and you know about it. And you can walk around it, and then the Jebusites will start throwing potatoes at you. And these Jebusites always stand there in your center, the center of your territory. Jebusites. Tell me, which one of you ever thought he had full victory until he met the Jebusites? Seriously, I thought, this is it. We have full victory now. Now I took everything in my life. Now what am I going to do now? And the next thing you know, you just get hit in the face. Like, whoa, what is this? I went through an encounter. What happened? Where did this come from? Where did this sucker punch come from? Boom, next thing you know, you get hit again. That's it. I'm going to go fast. I went too fast. And Jebusites are still doing the same thing. I'm going to go confess. I'm delivering you right now. I'll go confess. I guarantee you, confession did not help. Hello? Do we have honest people here or what? Confession does not help. I tried three times, four times, does not go away. And you know what we start doing then? We start fighting ourselves. There's no other methods, but it's in the way. You have to go serve. The next thing you know, these Jebusites coming out. You have to deal with this. You have to do something with this. He bit me. I still remember yesterday. get all the victories easy, but not Zion. Zion. Why is he sung by David? Why is it called the city of David? Because David took it. And he looked at this as something like a big victory. What can be a big victory? It can only be what was a real warfare. What wasn't a real war, you cannot call that a victory. Amen? I mean, you come out into the ring with a boxer, and you're warming up. He's in his corner, you're in your corner. And here the bell goes, bang, and one of the opponents falls to the ground. Who won? Me? Can you tell me? Can they glorify me for this victory? Can they say, man, that was quite the war. You know, you had the spit going this way, blood going this way, and such a war. Next thing you know, boom. And they say, this is the biggest battle. This is the biggest battle of this century. Look at this. This is all funny, huh? Because you came out and bang, and he fell to the ground. Everybody laughed and went home. Did this war give you something? No. Did you test yourself in war? Did you see who he is? No. Definitely not. So there's the moment. I don't get it. And if he's the King of Kings, we're the kings. God is a God of gods. God doesn't have idols. He don't call them gods. We are little gods because we were created by the image and the likeness God created men. God is a God of gods and kings. So in order to become a king, you got to conquer something. To become a conqueror and be able to stand next to Jesus Christ who conquered. Amen? You have to... So if he conquered the devil, and we see this as a big victory, where the devil just he just dropped everything. And no matter what, Jesus reaches what he's supposed to reach, and it so happens when Jesus was crucified, he was resurrected. And everybody understands who won. That's why we call this battle the battle of all centuries. Because about Golgotha, there's so many books written about it. Because the victory can only be a victory of something that was a real battle. I want to ask you a question. Do you have a battle in your life? Who has a battle? Raise your hand. This speaks about that. You're in the ring, and you're going to reach something. Don't even think about running out of the ring. You know why boxers, they look at the ring and they watch more and more of bloody battles, and they rewind it and watch it over and over again. Why? I was thinking, why David sung about Zion so many times, a place who was like something that always got in his way, and all the Jews, he sung about it. 163 times it was used in the Bible. What is this? Why is this? What's it for? That's what it's for. It's not the Zion that it's sung about. It's the victory in Zion that's sung about. They said, you will not take it. You will not come in. But David took it. Second moment. After fighting a little bit with our Zion, we understand that it's not working. We fasted, we prayed, we confessed, and that means we need to go to all these conferences and let them lay hands on us and pour anointing oil on us, and we run around. You're just going to smell like anointing oil, and the Jebusites will laugh at you. You're going to be all in oil and oiled up everywhere, and Jebusites is... they'll just keep throwing rocks at you from the wall. And so it happens that in this verse, this last verse, verse 7, Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, the city of David. And this is the city of David. Who captured the fortress of Zion? David took it. He took it. Other soldiers we see, like his army did something, here. But David took the Zion. I want to deliver you that stop running around for somebody to help you with your Zion. Nobody, never, is going to help you. Remember this and just believe my words. If you don't believe me, 15 years later, listen to the CD and you might believe it then. After you ran out of strength and ran out of anointing, and all your anointing will be gone on your own head. And it's me that has to take over the Zion. And you're going to ask me how? I don't know how your Zion is able to be taken. I can't help you take it. And you will deal with it, you and God. You'll be able to deal with it. I'll tell you right away. This is one single sphere that you do not need. You don't even expect any kind of help in. Are you fighting a battle with smoking? Well, or alcohol? Then that's your battle until you deal with it. Or you have a war with lust, then you'll have a war with lust or stealing or lying or pride or whatever it is. Whatever that Zion is. Why did I call this subject my Zion? Because it's my Zion and you have yours. I've seen so many people say, "Pastor, I can't do this. Help me. I can't go to encounter. The Zion is choking me." I'm not going to go through all this. I'm not going to name every single sign, but he said, "They're over there screaming at me too." I just want to deliver you by truth. Simply tell you that I have my own Zion and the war just keeps happening. The battle continues. I'm not standing here saying, I'm just telling you facts. I just tell you the truth. That pastor can do all this and still have some kind of Jebusites and let's just say Zion, and can still do this. And a lot of people were left from living by Zion. And David would kept on living and doing everything he did and still have the Zion. Everybody has their own Zion. I want to speak about for you to receive freedom. Zion was not taken over in the first year that he was a king. It wasn't even taken on the 10th year. After many years, David captured the fortress of Zion. Most important for you to know is that if you received, I'll tell you honestly that in your life, Jebusites, they can be unleashed, or sometimes they can be like they're halfway dead. You know, they're not active in your life. Now you just have to capture them, and that's it. Do you like when I tell the truth, or do you want me to be? Or you want me to just fly around here and say, "We took everything, we conquered everything, and now just keep flying after me." I'm just telling you, stop coming up to me with your Zion. I haven't even dealt with mine yet. Oh, look at you. Oh, what about you? Come to me, and you might even have the three Zions. My Zion. I'm telling about my battle. And that I'm opening up the truth about myself, I want to deliver you. For you to understand that in our life, as a Christian, a Zion is not a curse. It's something that's allowed by God for you to become complete, for you to become the king. And when there's battle in your life, you know why anointing grows and the power grows? Because the battle with Zion continues. The battle with the Jebusites continues. This speaks about, this means that I learned how to work with, we didn't take the bombs, but I learned how to make bombs. And when you're fighting the Jebusites, they stimulate us for war and for battle. And when the little things come into your life, you can just take easily. You can even help other people because you become a professional in your warfare. I know that we become better. I hate my Zion, but I glorify God for my Zion. Because going through these many years, I know who I'm thankful for my strength, for my power, anointing to Zion. If it wasn't for Zion, I wouldn't be nobody. You understand what I'm talking about? There wouldn't be nothing to fight for. Everything's conquered. You know they told me you won, and I didn't even feel the victory because I didn't do nothing. And it never came because you never won. That's what God does. He lets you helps you conquer everything. He leaves one thing for you to be able to defeat and become complete. This is what steals your happiness. That's what stops you, and that's what gets in the way of you, in the way of your life. It comes from time to time and reminds you of itself. That's what Zion is. But in the war with Zion, I noticed that he's not going to steal my happiness no more. No matter what it is and how it is, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. And it so happens that I did not conquer Zion yet, but I conquered happiness, and I know the price of my happiness. If Zion was taken away from me, then my completeness would be stopped. Because I still have a lot of tricks that I haven't tried yet. And every one of us has its own Zion. You can't teach me to fight my Zion. You don't even know what it is. I have my own Zion, my level. I definitely can't teach you. We're all learning, fighting, and dealing with the stuff. That's how we learn. And I noticed Zion was stealing my anointing. But it happens that I was just giving it away. And then I said, it's not going to happen like that. Nobody's ever going to take my anointing. Not one day in my life is going to be for nothing. And all this, all these things, tons of sermons that you hear, they're all given birth from the Mount of Zion. This sermon is not for children. You understand me? I'm simply telling you, it's going to be really hard for the new beginners to understand this, because everything's still cool in your life. Everything's fine. I don't want to go on before I disappoint somebody. I want you to understand why David exalted the Mount of Zion, because this is a place of hard work. The city of David always is and always will be Zion, a place of the worst battle. And I'm saying, Lord, if Zion didn't leave my life, God simply explained this to me real simple when I was talking to him. He said, you have to understand, we got to imagine Zion not like some kind of a suffering or some kind of dirty thing in our life. We got to imagine a school that has 12 grades and you're simply moving. When you finish the last grade, then the school's finished. That's an example. When Paul said, when I was a childhood, when I was a newborn, I was thinking like a newborn. But as soon as I became mature, then I left everything. So this is school that keeps us, makes us complete. So I love my Zion now. I talk about it with fulfillment, about the place of my worst battles. I talk about with fulfillment, because that's what makes me to be who I am. I know it's hard for people to hear this because I'm not the pastor who preaches nor regular sermons. I'm telling you what you need for life, but not for resurrection. This talks about that when you leave this place, you're going to need this. Amen? And when some Jebusites, you know, flips you off, you can do the same thing back to him. And you say, uh-oh, that's it. Now I'm not going to whine no more, and I'm going to fight and become complete. Oh, I can't stop taking pills. What? That's Zion. You know, some little thing can make you a spiritual monster. Fighting with some little painkillers that you can't quit. Some little thing, but it's make you a huge conqueror. Because you're not fighting with cigarettes. You're fighting. You're learning the principles of war. It's some little pride or something you're dealing with. So what? Most important is you learn the principles of war. That means there's going to be victory. Do you like it today? I like it. We always think that somebody's going to help us with our sign. Just forget about it. At this service, just forget about it. Stop praying. Stop walking. Start dealing with it. Okay, what is this? How high is it? What can I do to destroy this? And start working. Zion had to be captured by David. Only by David. My Zion can be taken by me, and your Zion will be taken by you. And there's going to be no help. I beg you. You're just wasting your time if you're seeking help. Help's not going to come. Trust me, it's been checked by many years. I know people who's got gray hair and they're still crawling around with their Zion, and nobody's helped them. They've tried all kinds of anointed people, and they anointed all of them, and nothing works because Zion can be taken just by you. I'm going to move to the end. This is really interesting. Let's read about David, what he said about Zion. We'll read Psalms 84 from 5 to 7. Psalms 84 from 5 to 7. Let's see what David writes about this. When we start reading Psalms, and if we didn't live through these things, they just fly by. But when you understood something, every one of these words have a meaning and a revelation to you. Let's see, Psalms 84, 5, 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. These aren't just words of David. Just watch every phrase. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts in pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Where do they open the place of springs? In the valley of Baca. I open up my power in a valley of battles. Oh, you think God makes me strong? Yeah. For some people, need to listen to this 5 more times just to understand it. Listen really carefully. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Will teach appears before God in Zion. Why do I go from strength to strength? That's what it is. Appears before God where? In Zion. I usually read through this place. I didn't understand what it was talking about. From glory to glory, from power to power. And I'm on Zion, like, whoa, whoa. But it so happens that, no. Everything has to go in order. David knew what he was writing about. It's not just a psalm he was just feeling good from. He was just like, blah, blah, blah. Just wrote it. She talks about the place of springs and the autumn rains also covered with pools. Well, I'm seeking a blessing. Keep seeking. You just don't know where. I know where it's at. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Everything we go through in order to be in Zion. What is Zion? It's a place of battle. It's a place where I exist. The biggest victory in my life. That's what Zion is in my life. In every Christian, at least to a level to where you know there is Zion, one more moment, you got to take in for yourself. None of you will not have to be able to skip the Zion or go around it. Nobody will be able to go around their Zion. Real quick, in Deuteronomy, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 7. Deuteronomy 11:7. Actually, that was the wrong part. Nothing comes to my life easy, and that's what makes me strong. Can you tell me, when we watch people, our Russian army, there's no dumb organization that exists in the planet Earth. I'm saying this with love. But I noticed one moment. People who went through the army didn't just... I see some parts in their attitude that other people can't understand who never went through the army. Where, like, they make you clean people's shoes with the toothbrush, and you see parts of an attitude. You see what grew this attitude in him, why he can stand and not give up. They'll be killing him. He said, I won't give up. I'll never give up. Something changed in me. He came into an army, some kind of an army, and he might be able to be the one who sustained in a whole army. We have people in a battle. They look different from those people who are not in Babel. Is everybody with me? I guarantee all of you, everybody who's in my team, men's, women's, youth, all the team, all the people that I see powerful in the team, I guarantee you, you have terrible, hard battles. I don't even question it. I know it. And the stronger you are, the bigger your battles were. And you become more stronger. Zion is not just a place that just the Bible sings about. It's a fundamental place where a personality was sustained. I'll come to the end. I'll read one more place. Psalms 132, verse 14 and 15. Psalms 132:14-15. Let's see what David writes here. This is my resting place. Or actually, verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. For the Lord chose Zion. Why? Why did he choose Zion? He has desired it for his dwelling. Why does God live in Zion? Yes. You want to meet God? Don't go around Zion. You want to understand where God is moving? Where he breathes? Where he changes everything in my life? Go to Zion. Run to Zion. Go capture Zion. Conquer Zion. Interesting sermon. Usually it teaches like this. come, poor sheep, we will anoint you or something, and you'll go home free. But I'm preaching to you, no way. Mm-mm. Not going to happen. Your Zion is going to chase after you. And for how long? It all depends on you. I love the battle of Zion. God chose it for himself to dwell in. Why, Lord? What, you have no place to live? Well, you have no place to live with God. Why did you choose this place to dwell? Because like never before, God has to put his hopes in who? Tell me, in any other battle, you didn't even think about it. It was just taken. But here, besides God, nobody's going to help you. Did you take in some for yourself, church? Give the glory to God. Let's all stand up and just worship God for our Zion. Worship Him for our victory, for our battles, that things that we keep moving. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We glorify you for our Zion. Father, because this is a place of my battle, because that's a place where I meet you. This is a place where you live. This is a place where I want to live. And if I want to be with you, I must take over Zion. I must dwell in Zion. I must conquer Zion. Not just walking through it. And walking through Zion, I get closer and closer to you, and I get closer to you. And we will never ignore Zion, the place that was given to us from above for victory. We thank you, Jesus, for the victory, for the freedom. We thank you that we can be in you. We thank you, Jesus, that you're teaching us, you're training us, you're making us real soldiers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. All the glory and honor to you, Jesus. All the honor and glory belongs to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All the glory and honor to you, Jesus. We thank you for our Zion. We thank you for a place of battle. We thank you that we keep growing. You're making us stronger. We will capture Zion. Hallelujah. Zion will never stop us. Will never stop us from life. From life, for happiness. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the glory to God.